May 8th, 1992.
Mm-hmm. As a follow-up on Bob's story about the cow trading, at one time from the mid-20s until the mid-30s, Warren Grange ran the fair behind Our Lady of the Snows Church, and they had a nice little fair there. They had cattle show, 4-H boys show. In fact, I showed calf down there when I was a kid, a long time ago. And they bought their grain from Steve Jocelyn, S.P. Jocelyn and Grain Company. And he sent a bill to the Grange for grain that he had sold the Grange in connection with the fair. And there was some discussion that they thought he'd overcharged them. And Mrs. Somerville, that's Thelma's mother, got up in the Grange, and her Earl was there at the same time. And well, she said, perhaps if Steve Jocelyn hadn't been honest with the Grange, they could get Brother Fuller to sell him another cow.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, Steve Jocelyn is Don Jocelyn's father?
No, that's... Oh, Lord, don't ever mention that to him.
Oh, okay.
That was Fletcher's father.
Oh, that was Fletcher's father. Because I was just...
He ran the grain store where the Miramar Ski Club is now. And just a little while ago, somebody said to me, it appears there's the river at one time ran over past that grain store. I said, no, that wasn't the river. That was a canal. There was a dam in the main river up above the bridge. And the Jocelyn Mill and the Moriarty Mill both had water wheels. And they dug this canal, and the bridge is still there right in front of the Miramar Ski Club, where that they diverted the water over and went it through their water wheels and out to, well, quite a little way below the bridge.
I'll be darned. And those mills both burned, right?
They both burned at the same time, sometime. I would guess in the mid-40s. Late 40s, perhaps.
The Baird Mill.
Andy Baird's Mill.
Andy Baird's Mill. Now, that's been there quite a while, hasn't it?
Actually, Andy Baird built that. He worked in the defense plants in southern New England, Connecticut, I guess, during the war. And then he came back after that and built the mill and run it since. But that was preceded by the Richardson Boys Mill that was, well, a little ways up the river.
Mm-hmm.
You can. I think they had a water wheel up there, and there's still evidence of the ledges and the water having washed out.
Well, one of the things, the Facing General Store.
Yeah.
No.
It's Moulton's lived in Facing, and there was a time when, in order to sell beer, you had to have the vote of the town to go wet, as they called it. And Waitsfield went dry, always had gone dry, and they predicted they always were going to, but they were almost in the town of Moortown, so they are in the town of Waitsfield, so Faston went wet, as they called it, and he set himself up a store, and he sold beer. Had a tremendous business. Warren went dry too, so he had the run of the valley. Rumor has it, I don't know if it's true or not, that some of his relatives who lived in Waitsfield were promoting the dry vote. No, that's only rumor.
And I guess there was Gallagher Cider Mill right there too.
Mm-hmm.
And, was it Harry Smith told me once that how do you put it? That you had to strain the fish out of Gallagher cider because he watered it down so.
Well, I don't know anything about it. I know I have to, my uncle used to make cider. He had barrels. He tried to have a barrel every winter. And as a young fellow, he always referred to me as boy. I don't think he ever called me by my right name in the world.
Your uncle?
Yeah, he always referred to me as boy. I was his eyes during the time that I was here as a kid blind. I grew up here with him, worked with him, eventually acquired the place. So I got no complaint, but I don't think he ever called me by my name. It's just boy. And when my wife came here, we all lived in the same house, and he always referred to her as girl. We were married in 42, because that was during the time that the sugar was rationed. And he liked his cake and sweets very well, and he said, girl, I'll tell you what. If you watch that sap, and you can get the boy to go up and tap some trees, we'll make some syrup. They won't have it rationed on us. And at that time, we were shipping milk in cans, and we had a big old wooden shod sled that we used to draw manure out in. Sweep it out in good shape, put eight or ten milk cans in it, and went up on the hill, and I think we tapped 60-some-odd trees, and it was a tremendous year. I think we had a stove out there. We had moved it. We moved. That used to be the kitchen, but that was the old farm kitchen, but I've known my mother mopping the floor when she had to wait until you get a warm day because the water would freeze on as she tried to mop it. There was no cellar under it. But anyhow, we had a stove out there, and they had the one in here. And that was the one out there, and we had just rebuilt the barn a few years before, and all of the wood boards and stuff that we'd saved for sugar wood. We had an old sugar house up here, but we no longer sugared up there, but been stored until we had a lot of good wood. So we would bring the wood down, and throw it in the woodshed here, and he'd go out and get it. And he had milk pails. We'd set the milk cans on the north side of the house. And, well, in the first part, it was in the snow, and then he was in the shade where they wouldn't get warm. And he would go out, and he could dump the milk sap into the pail and bring it in. And she'd kind of guide him on keeping fire and kind of watch it boil. And they made 22 gallons. But I remember that he's a girl, and if you watch that sap, I'll put the wood in.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, were any of your children born while your uncle was still alive?
Oh, yes.
What did he call them?
He called them by the right name.
Boy, too?
No, Tom was born in 45. My uncle died in 51. So
Tom's your oldest.
Yeah, he's the one that lives down here.
How many do you have?
Three. And then there's Kenny that drives
the
school bus.
And is he the one with the deer?
Yeah. Got a picture of him voting down here. Just happened to catch him at town meeting. I bought the paper. I said, normally I'd tell you, I'll eat somebody else's paper. That's him with the beard.
Oh, yeah. And then your third one is?
Patty. She's the nurse down at Mary Hitchcock Hospital.
Huh.
Lebanon. He he carries some family resemblance to those old fellows that, or maybe it's just the beard, I don't know. They didn't have red beards. He does. Auburn.
That's neat.
He drives a school bus and he works over to the bus barn.
Another, that's what she was called?
Mm-hmm. The bob-haired bootlegger.
Earl Fuller had all kinds of stories about Ruth Senior.
I'm one up on you. I got the old still.
Oh, you tell me about that. he told me a little bit about that. But
it was my uncle bought the place from her after. Well, after Prohibition was stopped and kind of put the bootleggers out of business. She came up one time and she said, would you mind if I went into the old house and picked up a few things I left down there? I knew what she wanted, but I didn't think she'd find it.
Did she find it?
Upstairs, you know. The coil, she might have had the coil. To be illegal for me to have both of them. But there's one of the old copper wash boilers with the oblong ones with the handle on the top. They put in about a 5 or 6 inch brass screw top in it with a producer to a pipe and soldered in on the top.
Now, did she start that, or was it Dan Senior?
No, Dan, he was all right.
So she was the one that...
She was the one. Dan is Lester's father.
Gabe. Was it Gabe?
Gabe, that's her father. That's her father.
Okay. And was he involved in the...
No.
No. So it was just she started it all by herself?
Well, she started a lot of things.
Well, she's dead and gone now, so you can say fun.
I had a cousin. My grandmother's sister married a Foley. They lived in Bolton or Jonesville, I don't know which, in what they call Honey Hollow, and I guess it's Bolton. And after my grandmother bought the place, grandmother and grandfather bought this place, that place became available. And they bought it, I think, about 1910. It's quite a big family. There was four boys, the father, and a couple of daughters. And they bought the place, and they ran the farm there. And they all died, or the old couple died, and the rest of the family sort of went their own way, got jobs, and moved away, and there was left to Jim, who looked after his folks, and bachelor stayed there at home. And after his father went, he found it more than he really wanted to cope with, the big house, he didn't need that, so he sold it to Ruth. And this was about 1928, I think. 28, I think. And during the night, you'd see these big cars come in 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They'd be there a while and leave probably sometime later. I don't know, but you see car lights drive in. She raised German Shepherd dogs. Whatever reason, I don't know, but they had a couple of kind of ugly ones. Protection, I presume.
And she never was caught? Was she?
No. Don't know how much it cost her, but she never got caught.
Well, I think a lot of people winked at Prohibition. I think Earl Long had a great story about a raid on some dance he was playing for. And they were warned, and they got full sign of liquor out of there.
Well, she did some business with the county law enforcement. In fact, one of them used to supply the grain and the sugar, molasses, malt, stuff like they use. They used to tell that in the South they could tell who was running a still because their cattle were always fat. The byproduct of their
mash,
their mash, they give the cows, and the cows were fat.
Did she do that here?
Don't know.
Did she have any cows?
She had cows, yes. Don't know anything about that, but probably wasn't enough to really make that much. I don't know, but the chimney goes all the way down through in the basement down there, or did.
Where is it?
It's Tom's house down here.
Oh, that one right below you?
Yeah.
No kidding. And she would make it?
Well, she made some, I'm quite sure.
Right in the house?
In the cellar.
In the cellar, not off in some mountain peak.
And some of the suppliers were.
Was it good?
I have no idea.
I mean, was it?
She apparently didn't kill anybody. But the biggest thing was a way stop off station between here and Canada.
And that was her. She was the major stop off station.
They tell me it was. I don't. Of course,
that's
I was only 10 years old at that time, and I do remember quite vividly sitting there on the porch watching some big car drive in the afternoon and. Heard a rifle and heard a bullet whistle up over the top of the house there, and I think perhaps I was a bit better off. I went back in the house.
And how long did this go on for?
Went on until they stopped the prohibition, kind of put them out of business.
Yeah. So it was, let's see.
5 years, probably. Four or five years. Don't remember when hard liquor was. It could be sold again.
Yeah, it was something like 1920 to
32, I would guess.
So
the first that they first they let the bar down was 3.2% beer, and that was during the Roosevelt administration. I remember that from a funny little story I heard. What was a four-letter word ending in P that was legalized by the New Deal? Beer.
And there must have been a lot of hard cider still put down during that period.
Of course, hard cider was a common commodity anyway.
Does anybody do that anymore here?
No, not very many. A few maybe, but it's quite uncommon now.
We've tried it a few times. It was never very good.
You don't keep it corked up tight, just like wine.
Yeah.
My uncle tells a story that was Myron Goodspeed. He was a mason, built chimneys. In fact, that chimney I'm referring to is this one right in here. Goes down into the basement of the cellar. This happened right it originated in the cellar, but a little, just a little ways beside the barrel. And it seemed along the afternoon, Myron come up and he said, Herb, I can't work anymore. Boys, mix the numbers all up on the square and I gotta go home. He says, I can't build a chimney. I can do it just as slick as a pin tomorrow, but I can't do it today. He could see that things
Yeah, there was, I think Bob Goat told a similar story, and I don't remember who it was about. His father had a sow that ate her piglets, and the guy says that he can cure the sow.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow he got into his father's hard cider, and when Bob Goat's father came down there, there was the guy with his arm around the big sow pig, drunker than a skunk. And needless to say, he didn't cure her of...
Well, there was a... Lovett ran this farm up above here. He was vice president of Rockland Light and Power down in New York. He bought the old farmstead. In fact, he bought both of these houses up here. And he hired...
Which houses are these?
The Lovett's, where Anna Whiteside lives, and the Fuller place. He bought it, and I know after the Fuller family had moved away. And... he had a farm manager up there. He raised registered Guernsey cattle. And the farm manager said that he thought probably whiskey was one of the best things you could give a calf of the scours. And he had a lot of trouble with scours that winter. The boss buying the remedy.
Believed it. Old folk remedy, what?
Yeah. I don't know about the calf, but he felt a lot better from it anyway.
Where did Tom and Biddy Egan live?
The place is gone now. He doesn't show on this either. Anyhow,
on the back street.
On the back street, the horse farm. Now that.
That big horse farm with all those white.
Well, where Les Tosino used to live.
Oh.
Right on the back street.
Yeah.
There's a house on the upper side of the road and. The barn on the lower side, and that's just beyond a little gully, a run, swale, I guess it is a gully now, but as far as I'm concerned, it's just a swale. But there was a house and barn, probably 15 to 20 rods before you get to the Senor farm. There's a road now that goes up, cut me off too quick. There's a road now that goes up into the field, and they built they built two roads there, but
now I think you told me a story about Tom and Biddy Egan that I didn't get on the tape. About, was that you that told me the story of his wake and how he died and that they were always battling and sometimes she'd take him to court and then they both battle a judge? Was that you that told me? Or maybe it was...
Must have been somebody else. I've heard a lot of stories about Tom Egan.
Tell me a little... Well, that's the only one I've heard, so tell me a little more.
Well, little poem there, the yellow painted hack.
Yeah.
On Sunday that morning early, Biddy Egan, Alden Poley, Walt Reutenberg. He married my grandmother's sister. In fact, I got a picture of him right here. Walt Reutenberg, old Tom, and old Tom is Tom Egan.
Uh-huh.
And his dog Jack went traveling down the clover to look the schoolhouse over. And they all went riding in the yellow painted hack.
Right. So tell me about Tom and Biddy Egan. Yeah, because that...
So there's Walt Reutenberg.
And he was married to your grandmother's sister.
Yeah, that's her.
I'll be darned.
And there's their daughter, Myrtie. She married Bert Merrill. I lived up on the East Middlebury Road.
Huh.
I turned right out there, ladies. They had a son just about my age. We used to ride motorcycle together.
Well, tell me about Tom and Biddy Egan then.
They ran that farm over there.
Uh-huh.
And one time that he had an ox. It didn't sell much. He brought everything back again.
He had an auction?
Yeah, uh-huh. All his cows and horses. And he bought most everything back. A few things he wanted to get rid of, I guess. Somebody said to him, "Why did you do that, Tom?" He really wanted to find out how much he was worth.
Well, now, how was he involved in the yellow painted hack story?
Well, he apparently was just there. Of course, this was. Wilson Averill lived in where Lester Senor did.
I see.
He was his neighbor. Probably usually good friends. Probably I shouldn't be telling this story, but they tell the story Tom and Biddy were having some kind of a squabble, and some of the neighbors were there, and Biddy complained. She said, "Tom, he used me last night, and he threw sweat on me this morning."
there are a number, I guess, of stories about them.
There was Peter Moriarty lived over here. The Luce Moriarty house, just the first place up on the right from the Eastbourne Grocery. He was another one of the old school Irishmen. He had a wood pile. There used to be the fellows that would go around with the saw rig and so on. "It's a little hollow, rotten, and crooked, not much of it at all anyway. How much would you sell it for?"
A little what?
It's a little hollow, rotten, and crooked, and not much of it anyway. What will you sell it for?
Hollow and rotten and crooked. Well, now there was quite a settlement of Irish up here.
Yeah, there wasn't as big a settlement here as it was up around Bob Gold's place. And in fact, that's the Paddy Hill he lives on.
That's right. Paddy Hill, or South Hill as it's called now.
Yeah, but...
And I understand that they came in because they were building the railroad at that time, and I wondered if that's when they came here as well. Do you remember where Tom and Biddy came from?
I don't know. I suspect that Tom was. I can't believe that they were involved in the railroad.
Well, Guy Livingston is also Irish, and I can't remember what he told me. They came down through Canada, though.
Yeah. And there was the Browns that used to be here that were Irish. They were B-R-O-W-N-E. There was Johnny, and Johnny used to work for us. He was, they would call him slow learner now. his brother was the one that ran the business. In fact, they owned the big farm where the brick house is in Waitsfield Village, right across from the Bonnet's Garage, right just beyond the Oddfellows Hall. But they originally lived up in North Fayston. They came from Ireland. In fact, they were members of the nobility somewhere over there. And
well, also, Ina Goodyear's, the Strongs, came from Ireland.
Yeah, old Clarence Strong. I remember Clarence, and I knew his brother.
There are some wonderful stories about Clarence Strong, too.
Oh, yes, there are.
The one I heard was, Clesson Irish, about he couldn't get the telephone because these women were all talking about their baking, and he finally just got ticked. And so he picks up the phone and says, "I smell burning cookies." And they all clomped down the phone and went to see if theirs were burning.
They tell the one too about old Alty Fard getting the telephone up in Fayston. You probably heard that one.
No.
Eleanor denies it. There was a Bessie. Bessie Cota.
Bessie who?
Bessie Cota was the was the operator. The operator.